everyone, and welcome to ESPN Cricket Info Power Play. I'm Valkyrie Baines, and I'm joined by my co-host, Fidos Wunder. Last year, we brought you a load of conversations with some of the leading players in women's cricket. Now we're back with a new podcast name, a new logo, and our very own platform. But we've still got the very same commitment to bringing you fascinating discussions with the game's superstars.
We also plan to explore and challenge some of the power dynamics within the sport and discuss issues of particular relevance to the women's game. This will include conversations around scheduling, pay, and equality in the game, as well as all the fun of playing, watching, and living live sport.
This is ESPN Cricket Info Power Play, Women's Cricket Uncut.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to ESPN Cricket Info Power Play, the podcast that brings you women's cricket uncut. I'm joined today by my co-host, Valkyrie Baines, and we're chatting about 10 days ahead of International Women's Day, which is on March 8th. And the reason that we're chatting this early is because we were fortunate enough to have a very special guest with us to talk about issues around the women's game, and it was Bangladesh's captain, Nigar Sultana Jotty. So she spoke to us a little while ago. It was, in fact, a few months ago. But from where we come to you today, we are 5 days into the second season of the Women's Premier League in India, where we've already seen two last ball thrillers. We've already seen the first fifer in the second season of the tournament and in the tournament overall, and one of the biggest sixes that's been hit in the competition at 85 meters. So we're seeing an increase in the quality, in the interest of the game. We've seen great crowds in Bangalore. And of course, Jotty, who's watching from the outside, will know that this is something she'd really want to be part of. Vals, wouldn't you say? She'd be looking at it and there might be a twinge of envy.
Yeah, she was really fascinating when she spoke about the opportunities that franchise cricket present for players from, you know, those lesser established or less wealthy cricketing nations. She's got experience from Fairbreak, and she talks about how invaluable that was for her to play with really experienced players, the top players, you know, from the top countries around the world, and take some of that experience back to her players with Bangladesh. And Bangladesh have seen some great results of late, which she talks about as well, which is really exciting. So I can't wait to hear what she has to say.
Bangladesh's captain, Jotty Sultana, thank you so much for being with us. It's so great to have you on our podcast. Just to start off with, Jotty, it's been an amazing year for Bangladesh cricket. 2023, the team impressed at the T20 World Cup, and you've had a string of good results and victories over India, Pakistan, South Africa. How would you sum up this year for the team?
Yeah, definitely. I think we had a great year. Almost, it's not finished yet. So there's still more to come, I guess. So I think it was a great experience as a whole team, because we've been working hard to be in this kind of level. But the thing is, you couldn't see the result. But in this year, I think we are fortunate enough that we could see our hard work in the colors. So this is the thing. And I'm so lucky that we've been performing consistently well, because we've been doing well in the past. But the thing is, the consistency was not there. So we actually looking for that. So far, I think starting from the India series, I think the girls played amazingly well on there. Then after we went to the Asian Games, we got the bronze medal. And then after, I think against Pakistan, we've been seeing so many players. They are doing well for the team. And how actually they, I have to mention the youngsters. So how they came into the team and they actually changed the atmosphere, and they're trying to give their everything to show their character. So I think it was quite amazing. I think as a captain, I think I'm lucky enough, and I'm really fortunate that I can lead this team.
How have you managed to get that consistency in what's a relatively short period of time toward the back end of this year? How do you go about building that and then riding the wave of it through the rest of, you know, the series that you're involved in?
The thing is, before, you know, we've been struggling about our fitness. So the thing is, we've been doing well with the bowling unit, but somehow we couldn't manage playing good as a batting unit. So we have been collapsed at each and every time. So, and one more thing that we have been missing, I guess, these things like regular basis, we didn't play continuous international cricket because, so however, you did a lot of practice matches or you played each other a very many matches of like domestics and everything, but international matches are very different. So when we get into the ICC schedule, I think after 2021, we qualified for the ODI World Cup. It was actually the game changer for the team because now we are playing international cricket regularly. And we actually played against the top side. So we can learn, we can get so many experience. I think this is the thing actually changed the whole atmosphere for the team because we know now how to deal with the pressure situation in an international game. So before we just play against the top sides in an ICC tournament like World Cup, T20 World Cup, ODI World Cup, or the like in a tournament like Asia Games or Asian Games. So the thing is, yes, this is actually make the difference between us. Obviously, we can see the last couple of years, like so many individual performance were there, but somehow it not showed up just because of we didn't do well as a team. So now, you know, recently we said like the player of the month, Manahida become the player of the month. It was a great achievement for the women cricket because this is the first time and so many other players had got nominated for that. That means that actually we are doing well as a team. So it about like whole team actually love their game and believe in theirself more than ever. They right now they know what is their role and how they can consume the pressure of international cricket. That's how we can perform consistently.
Jyoti, you mentioned that 2021 World Cup, and I guess the Bangladesh women's team has really come to global attention in the last 2 to 3 years. But you must have quite a history of women's cricket. You know, we're seeing your youngsters, we're seeing so many different people performing. Can you just inform people, like, what is the history and culture of Bangladesh women playing cricket? Are there more women now? What is it like in your country?
See, it was initially it was not that good that we are here right now because it was very struggling because, you know, we are a Muslim country and it was very difficult for a women to choose cricket as a profession. And because we have our conservative culture and sometimes, you know, people not taking that in granted. So because they think like that girls should be in the room or they should be doing house chores. So this is the thing, it was the culture. But from, I think, I should thank all the parents. Actually, they are very brave enough and they actually supported their girls that if, because if I can like mention about my parents, I think it was a brave decision by my family because it was very hard for them to support me on that time because I came from a very middle-class family and I belong from a small city. So for me, it was very, very, very tough. Because whenever I went to the ground, people say so many negative things. And they said, there is no future for the women cricket in Bangladesh. And we shouldn't be out and wearing jersey, t-shirts and everything. It was not that culture. So like me, many other women and many other girls, I think it was the hardest part of, I think, for the parents to give their girls actually and willing them to like let's go out and play your dream and like be in your dream and be passionate about it. So it was very hard, but after, you know, it was not very interested by the people initially, but after 2018 Asia Cup we won against India, so it was our first biggest achievement. And as a women cricketer, I think it was the first incident that we have been doing, we're doing that actually taking all the attention of the people of Bangladesh and the other. So after that, I think the revolution is going on. So then after 2018, we never looked back and started getting the attention from the people, started getting attention of the BCB that we also can make proud our country. So then we qualified for the 2021 in the qualifier, T20 World Cup. Then we played our first ODI World Cup and we won our first game against Pakistan. And we played so many close games against West Indies and the others. So, and we actually showed some characters in the back ODI World Cup. So this is how actually it started, and then we qualified for the 2023. We became the champion in 2023 South Africa World Cup. So this is the thing. Actually, I think it was all about the team effort and team game, because and especially the belief and the coaching staff. They've been supporting us throughout, like our good and the bad times. They always saying that now you are capable, you have the potential, you just need to believe. So the belief actually working right now, and now you can see the team is flying right now.
And do your parents, do they come and support you now? Are they okay with you playing? Are they almost proud of you?
Yeah, they are. Yes, obviously. I think I'm here just because of my parents and because of my family, because I think you already know what I feel actually. When in the last Pakistan series, I think my parents were there in the second ODI. So we played the Super Over game. So I hit it. We needed by one run to one ball, two runs. So I was there. So I hit a four. So my parents were crying because it was very hard, I know. So after I hit the four, I just ran away to my parents in the gallery. So I hugged them. So it was, I think, best moment of my life. And I think it inspired a lot of parents, seriously, I think so. And a lot of women to take up this sport and like dream about like one day we'll play for the Bangladesh.
And now you've got Bangladesh poised to host a T20 Women's World Cup next year. What does that mean to you personally and to women's cricket in Bangladesh?
I think it will be a great opportunity for us, obviously. And for the people of Bangladesh, actually watch, they can watch us live, because now people are showing more interested, and they are actually want to know when and how and where we're going to play. This is the thing. And there are so many fans in Bangladesh. They even in South Africa, I think in Benoni, we have seen a lot of crowd of Bangladeshi people. They were supporting. I was really surprised actually. And what about the T20? When we knew that T20 World Cup going to happen in Bangladesh, personally, I was thinking like it was a kind of a dreams come true. Like playing World Cup in front of the people, your own people. It was a big thing, I think. And if you could do well in front of so many people, I think it can be a huge moment for the team and for the women cricket of Bangladesh.
Yeah, Jyoti, just talk about that game in Benoni. I know that here in South Africa, we have a lot of Bangladesh expats and they love cricket. And that part of the country that you were in, a lot of them live around there. So it's great that they came out to support you guys. But you also beat South Africa in South Africa, which... it's not something a lot of teams can say they've done, and it caps off a year of amazing achievement for you. What was that like? You know, they World Cup finalists, they're a team that's really come on in the last few years, and there you were with a 16-year-old getting 5 wickets.
I think it was quite amazing, but because of I was really surprised when I see actually so many people shouting Bangladesh, Bangladesh. I will say, okay, in South Africa, so many spectators. I was really surprised, and the whole team was very excited, because whenever you get like so many love and support from the people of your own, it was a different, I think, experience. And yeah, about Shauna, I think she's magical every time, because, you know, she's just coming from the under-19 side. She was really doing well in the under-19 World Cup, and, you know, in the domestic, she's been consistently doing well, and she's a super player, I guess. And I think she's a match winner for me, because if she doesn't get to bat well, and she will do with the ball. So this is the thing. This is a character we all want to be in the team. So this is the thing. And it was like I used Shauna very late on that day, on the particular match. So it was not that plan that I'm going to bowl her 4 overs, but it was just for a change. I said, let's try Shauna, because she bowled a very good leg spin and she has very nice turn and drift. So just used her. So, and she was actually doing the same thing that I have asked for. Like I said, you just bowl here, and she was that, like, whatever you say, I will do it for you, no problem. And she was like, yes, I'm going to do it. Then when she was getting started getting the wicket, I said, okay, let her bowl the four over Skotas and let's see what will happen. It was very tight on the match, and because Anika Bosch was batted really well. So the match was like sometimes going into the South Africa's hands, sometimes in our hands. So I think the 16 years, she actually kept her nerves so calm and quiet on that moment, because that kind of situation, you know, sometimes the big players also get nervous and get confused, but she was very clear. I think it was the, I can see the maturity on her on that moment. She just said, she was watching at me. She said, where should I bowl? Just tell me. That was the conversation going on that time. I said, don't look at the fielder, just see my gloves and you just bowl. And everything will fall apart, no problem. And she took 1, 2, 3 and like a 5-1. So I tried her in the last over, just, I know that was the momentum going on and it was a hard day. So I just kept trying her and it was the, I think it's the moment and she's the match winner on that day.
I mean, Jyoti, it's not just her. You know, we saw Marufa earlier in the year who also comes through that under-19 setup. I mean, these girls are special, as you mentioned. They match winners and it's maybe a little taste of the talent that's there. You know, you've been around a long time. When you look at that, do you feel that there's a good depth building and just that there's so much and maybe even unexplored talent in Bangladesh?
Obviously, you know, right now I have 5 girls from under-19. Like Rabia Khan, the leg spinner, she's been the consistently doing well for the team, and she's just amazing. She's a very energetic fielder in the ground. I think Sumaya was there, Marufa is there, Shauna. So when they get into the team, it was really changed the whole scenario, because they are very energetic in the ground and they put themselves everywhere. Like if they are not doing in the bat, so they are doing in the bowling on the thing. So more energy, more freshness is on the field. Yes, I think it was a very good decision by the Bangladesh Cricket Board and the management, obviously, through including them in a very good time, because we'll play our first T20 in Bangladesh. So before, if you could see them and nursing them right now, because I think it was very ideal for them to play under the good seniors who actually support them and who can tell them like, yes, you're doing well. And sometimes, you know, they don't need to take so much of pressure, because the culture we believe in our team, that we always say like the newcomers and the youngster, that don't take any pressure. You just play yourself, be yourself on the ground and whatever you like. And there is no need to take any pressure or any responsibility. We are doing for you, no problem. You just express yourself on there. So that's why actually they are doing well, because I think I should thank the seniors how they accept them and supporting in the ground, even in the dressing room. They are very friendly to each other. So these actually make them play for the team so easy and so relaxed. They are so relaxed. So yes, this is the high time. I think we are including them in the team, and it actually give them a freebie to perform in the middle.
With your own role as sort of a batter, keeper, captain, and then you've got, you know, all this young talent to look after. I mean, how do you balance all of your responsibilities and roles within the team?
I think it's a tricky question. I think kept everything simple, because I know whenever I'm trying to think it as a responsibility or you feel heavier in your head. So I'm trying to keep myself so simple, and I said to my girls like, see, I'm not your captain, I'm just your colleague. So when we will bat, I will play as a batter. But yes, during the fielding, I think I have to change the fielding. And I know each and everyone has the capacity, and you've been playing for so long for the team, so you know your roles. So this is actually makes my job so easy, because I have so many experienced players in the team, and they are actually very capable of doing something good for the team every time. And yes, what I believe, if you maintain a good culture off the field, it will affect on the ground, because if your dressing room is become more relaxing and more fun, and you enjoy each and every moment. So I did actually try that, And actually, it actually worked for me because, you know, I'm a very fun guy person, and I'm very naughty. I'm always doing fun with my teammates, and I'm the DJ of the team. So I kept like every time, like, please be enjoy yourself, because see, we leave our family, we come across the country, and we have to be together every time. So we should be enjoying each and every moment. And I never missed a chance of doing dancing, singing, and naughty things. So this is how I actually kept going. I think it makes my character more essential towards the players. And they said, like me, and they can come to me anytime. They can talk to me about their life, their cricketing life, personal life, anytime. And whenever they're asking something, like they need any help, I said, okay, I never say no to anyone. If someone asked me, like an example, I need moon, then I said no, but it will be in the processing, so I will never say no. So it's okay. This is just an example. So like me, I'm so friendly towards the seniors, and I'm very friendly towards the juniors. So they see that we have a good bonding out of, like, off the field. That's why I think this bonding actually showing in the ground.
Josie, when you talk about the players and how well they've come together, I think the best examples of that was during the India series, where, I mean, you made history, you beat India, and were very gracious in the way that played out. Can you tell us a bit about that? Because there was that tied match, and then I believe you couldn't play the super over. There wasn't enough time, but you'd already beaten them. And just what did that feel like? You know, that they're such a well-known team. They've got a WPL now. They, you know, the players are sort of growing in stature. For you to achieve that, how did it play out, and what did it feel like?
You know, for me, it was the first bilateral series against India, because I was never played against India in a series. So my seniors actually played back 2013. So even though after 11 years, I think we played a series in home ground, which in Mirpur ground. So it was a huge moment for all of us. And especially I know that match, particular match, it was really exciting. And both the team actually played good cricket there. So apart from the other incident, I think it was a very good match. And it was a good experience for both the team. And I think Pinky played really well. She became the history of cricket and got the first century. I think Nahida bowled really well, and Rabia was there. Faima, each and every spinners, I think, even Marufa was there. So what we believe actually on that particular game, it was just go away from us before rain. So it was a rain. So I just told my girls, it's okay. Maybe after the rain, when we get back to the field, they will come hard on us, or maybe we can do the same. So you just keep believing yourself. And I think each and every ball, just fight for it. We are not going to lose till we lose. So it was the belief actually in my girls. And it actually works. See, after the rain, it was like shut down. Like we took 5 wickets. It was like, it's all about the belief that they said, like, no, we don't think about, like, we are playing against India. So we think about, yes, on that particular day, we have to play good cricket. Yes. So many players from our team, they idolize, like, Harmanpreet Kaur, Smriti Mandana, Jemima, because they've been watching them and dreaming about, like, they play against them. So it was a huge thing for the youngster on my team. So, yeah. It was a good match, and I think it was a good takeaway from us. Obviously, we get the important point, whatever is 2.5, it's okay. 3 points, and it was, I think, a great impact. And after that, I think it really impacted a good towards my team, and they kept believing, like, there is no team, like, we don't go by the names right now. We just wanted to play as a team. We wanted to, because like our team, you know, we don't have the big hitters. We don't have that match winner, particular match winners. So what we believe, so whoever get the start, she should finish the game. Or I think each and individual, when we actually can perform in a game, we actually win the game. So this is the thing.
Were you surprised at India's, I guess, surprise at losing and how they reacted to being defeated by a very good Bangladesh side?
I don't know what's going on there, but yes, sometimes, you know, so many teams are think like that. It was like we never win against India. So we won T20s in against India in Asia Cup, but we never won a single ODI against India. So it was quite unbelievable, I know. But the thing is, you don't need to judge a team by their past result, because what we are now, nowadays cricket are really changed. You cannot count by the name. You have to see the particular day what they are doing. So the thing is, on that particular day, I think we played good cricket, better than them, and they also played good cricket. So this is the thing. So the other, I don't know, they are surprising or not, obviously, because our team like India, they are doing so well from so many years. So it was quite surprising for them, I think.
The sort of results that you're having, sort of, you know, beating India, you beat South Africa at home. We've seen Sri Lanka beat England at home in a T20 series, Pakistan having success in New Zealand. Do you feel like the gap is closing, or is there a sense that it's closing between, you know, some of those more established or wealthier sort of cricketing nations and those that are up and coming?
Yes, I was about to mention this. And obviously, I think I'm so happy to see the Asian countries actually compete the top nations, because see, it depends on how you actually manage your team and how we actually learn, like, to teach your team to experience this kind of situation before. So we played against New Zealand, we play against South Africa, but we never won. Why? The question is why? Just because of we never played international match consistently. Because in a big tournament, we just get there and we play against England. So we don't know actually what is their strength and what is their weaknesses. So now we know, because we played against them. The thing is, next time when we play against Australia, we know, because we played against them in maybe we'll play against in March. So we'll know. So whenever you play against each other, you will get to know what is their strength, what is their weaknesses, how can we actually pressurize them in the middle, and how can we defend them, or what is going to be our plan. So this is how actually our team actually growing. So we play against our fast bowler against New Zealand. We didn't play well. But now, the team, it was, yes, maybe we lost each and every match, but we learned so many things, because on that kind of surface, I think, what should be our team plan? How should we play as a batting unit? How should we bowl? So we learned a lot of things that helped us here in South Africa, because New Zealand and South Africa, the I think surface more or less are same, a bit bouncy, very good flat track, and the ball coming to the bat very nicely. But in Asia, you will feel more drift, more spin, or there is not much pace you are not getting in Asian surface. So now we are getting the experience to play out of the Asia, and we know how to survive here. This is the thing. That's how actually we growing each and every day, and it actually helped a team to beat a good side. I think so.
Tati, what needs to happen next? I mean, you've spoken about the talent and the depth and the fact that you are playing at a consistent international schedule with the FTP. But if I look at women's cricket around the world, we've got the WPL, the WBBL, the 100, the women's CPL. South Africa have just professionalized their domestic structure as well. Is that the next step for Bangladesh, or is there something else that you think needs to happen just to keep the game going?
Yeah, I think, yes, it was quite disappointing, because there is no BPL right now for the team. And I think Bangladesh Cricket Board is very much interested, because when WPL started, the exhibition match was going on when they started the women IPL. So that time we proposed to Bangladesh Cricket Board that if we can play a BPL women in Bangladesh. So that my observation is, when you actually going to another country to play a franchise league, it actually opens a door for your self as well, because we could get to know each other, the other player, the experienced player. We could share the dressing room. We could share their experience. So what my experience, what I was playing the fabric for the first time in Hong Kong. So it was like a very good experience, because then I get to know the world cricket, where is the world cricket going? So then I can get back to Bangladesh, and I was sharing so much experience about it. Because when you play franchise cricket, and obviously you'll get to know to each other and you get to know the culture. So it was a huge takeaway from that kind of leagues, obviously. And it is going all, I think, all over the world, how actually women cricket actually running. And I think it was amazing, because WBBL is there, WPL is a huge, I think, a huge initiative for the women cricket. It was inspired a lot of women to take up this sport. And they, when there really was the WPL or WBBL and wherever, the CPL, T10 League and whatever, then they really wanted to play, like, yes, we are going to play one day this kind of franchises. And otherwise, I think I should mention that, yes, it's very important when you get a financial support and you get a good amount of money from a tournament, it will really inspire you to do well, obviously. It's all about like respect and all about the financial stuff, right? So a very healthy atmosphere going on all about the world for the women cricket. So I think it's a very good step going around. And I hope Bangladesh Cricket Board will arrange a BPL soon for the women cricket, because T20 World Cup is there. It would be a great preparation for the team.
Tati, just to end off there, you're looking quite good on the rankings for the next World Cup. And I guess that would be your next aim, 2025 and the 50-over World Cup, other than the home T20 World Cup, which you're hosting. What are the big challenges in the next year or two? And which are the teams that you've eyed and that you think, hang on, that's where we can get a series win?
See, we'll get to know that. If we don't play well, we'll have to qualify again. So it was really got into my head, and all the players that say, they said, no, we are not going to play the qualifier round, because it was really hectic. And I think it was a very hard challenge for the team, because in a qualifier round, if you don't qualify, you don't get to play the World Cup. It was really, really hard. And so I think we have the opportunity that if we could play well. See, we got the we got points against New Zealand just because of the rain. We are very fortunate, I think. So we get the points from India. So we got points from Pakistan. So we are looking forward for this series. I know each and every team wants to get points, just because of no one actually gone through that process, the qualifying process. So we are looking for that same. And obviously, we have a very good opportunity here as well. Because I know, and what I believe, that if we could play as a team, we could show our potential as a team on the middle. Obviously, we'll play good cricket here as well. So next, maybe we're going to play against Australia in our home soil. So right now, how actually team's doing well, so we can hope that we can get some points from there as well. So next, I think we'll play against Ireland, then West Indies. I think how the team looks like now. So we can hope that we can get our valuable points, that we cannot go through that process.
Roti, we wish you all the very best for that and into the future. Thank you so much for joining us on Ladies Who Switch. And thanks to everyone for tuning in on ESPNcricinfo.com.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, that was a fantastic interview. I really enjoyed everything she had to say there. And we're just a short while out now, I think it's a couple of weeks before that tour by Australia to Bangladesh, the first bilateral series between the two. And it was just really interesting what she said about, how important that will be. One, as a warm-up for the T20 World Cup, and also obviously for that 50-over World Cup qualification that they're sort of wanting to avoid, because it's part of the the Women's Championship. So, yeah, what do you make of sort of how big this is as a step for Bangladesh cricket?
I think it's huge. I think really because Australia touring them says that they've now got the biggest draw card in the game coming to their country. Hopefully people will fill up the stadiums there to go and watch these Australian players that are world champions and world champions over so many different tournaments and so many different eras. In fact, I think we could say the most dominant cricket team, I was going to say sports team, but I'll say cricket team ever. The Australian women's team. And for Bangladesh to take them on at home, I think as a sign of them being an attractive opposition is great. Of course, it's also part of the FTP. But more so, Valts, what I think is really important is that although we know Australia are dominant and Bangladesh are underdogs, I think Bangladesh could spring a surprise or two. They've beaten some big teams. They beat South Africa. They beat India. Jyoti spoke about those results. They're on home soil, and we know that conditions there can be tough and foreign and different, even for players who've been to something like the WPL. So personally, I think just given the results and the resources at their disposal, this is a massive opportunity for them. They've got the chance not just to host Australia, but actually to beat them. You follow Australia a lot. You're probably going to tell me that there's no way anyone's going to beat them, but there's got to be some weak spots, right?
Absolutely. No, I agree with you entirely. And it's not just, you know, that we want to see, you know, Bangladesh do well against the giant that is Australia. But as you say, they've got a proven track record now. There's, you know, wins that they had last year, beating South Africa at home, as you mentioned earlier, Pakistan, two series victories, and also, you know, playing against India and you know, winning a match off of them. So, you know, they have got runs on the board, so to speak. But, yeah, and they've also got that experience, which is really important when you look at how young some of their match winners are. You know, you've got Shauna Akhtar, who took the fifer in South Africa, and Marufa Akhtar as well. You know, they're still, you know, teenagers, and they can benefit hugely from the experiences they've already had when they come up against the juggernaut that is the Australian women's team. So, yeah, I think absolutely, you know, they've got some really important results going into that series going their way. So, yeah, you know, wouldn't be surprised if they do spring a little bit of a surprise there.
Yeah, and actually the most exciting thing about Bangladesh is the two that you've mentioned, the two actors, Shauna and Marufa, because they're so young, but also because of what it tells us about changing attitudes perhaps in Bangladesh, for especially parents in terms of supporting their children and their daughters specifically in playing sport. And I think Jyoti spoke about that so nicely when the people she gave credit to were her parents. In fact, she went up to them after winning one of her Player of the Match awards and just thanked them for, I guess it might sound a bit strange because, you know, we all grew up in different ways and would have been allowed to put it that way, to do different things. But to see a culture where really a woman's place is maybe not on a sports field, and to know that the parents have to make an allowance, to use that terminology, and to say, okay, we're going to let her do this. We're going to not just let her do it. We're going to support her. We're going to turn up at games, and we're going to encourage people around us to do the same thing. I think that could be very crucial for a shift that we might be seeing in lots of the world. You know, I'm thinking about the Moroccan women's football team, who got to the finals of the African Nations Cup a couple of years ago. In fact, it was just last year, not a couple of years ago, and played at the World Cup. And one of their players became the first international footballer to take the field in a hijab. And she did so to make a statement that we can be these two different things at once. We can be religious and, I suppose, adherent to some of the norms of our religion. And we can also be international athletes, and we can go and compete on a global stage. And personally, for me, I think the message that Bangladesh sent to women of Arabic, Muslim, and subcontinental origins, and I speak as someone who comes from that sort of culture, is that there is opportunity for us and there is a way to do it. And I've often joked that if I was growing up and I had been able to see someone like Shabnam Ismail, for example, maybe I would have played sport and not just written about it. So, yeah, I wonder what that's like for you, Valks. I mean, Australia, I'm so envious of the culture there. You know, sport is so much part of life. The facilities are outstanding. Everybody can do it. And then for you to kind of reflect back on the opportunities maybe you've had that are only starting to come up in parts of the world like ours.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the complete highlight for me in our interview with Dottie there, was when she said she sort of thanked her parents for their brave decision to let her play and to support her. A couple of times she used that word brave, because it is going against, you know, what is more generally accepted in her country. And yeah, you're right. Sort of in when I grew up, sport was just so much a part of what we did, girls and boys. And you've got to remember that when it's sort of the fabric of your growing up, that it's not sort of the case for everybody. And even sort of seeing here in the UK, having moved here much later, sport being a big thing for girls here, I'm even seeing a little bit more of an expansion of that. It sort of seemed to me, you know, a while ago where, you know, there's issues of, young girls kind of dropping out of sport when they, you know, hit high school and that kind of thing. And it seemed to be more of a thing here than it did to me growing up. It was just very much, you almost didn't even think about it. Here now, we're right in the midst of a boom in girls and women's sport here. And it's more and more becoming something that is part of, you know, the norm. And then, you know, you speak to someone like Dottie, who has had to sort of overcome, you know, even more of a sort of cultural resistance to that, and just sort of what it means for her team and for, you know, women and girls in her country. So I find that, you know, really fascinating and really inspiring. And I guess it's something that's only going to be boosted by them hosting the T20 World Cup at the toward the end of this year. And just, she spoke about what an opportunity that provides for girls and women in her country.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an absolutely amazing event. This series against Australia will be preceded by the qualifiers, and of course Bangladesh don't have to take part in that because they've qualified automatically. But I think we're going to see some interesting teams. Thailand is a team which I think we should be talking about as a country where, again, you know, the girls' cricket is really up there. Women's cricket is one of the things that makes headlines there. Zimbabwe will be part of that. They missed out by 11 runs at the T20 World Cup that was hosted here in South Africa to Ireland. And I know they'll be absolutely desperate. Their men's team will not play at an ICC event until at least 2026. All they've got left is for the women to try and qualify for something. So they're absolutely desperate. Uganda, another amazing story. Rwanda, a great story as well. So lots on the African continent. And very, very similar kind of narrative, that it's about breaking taboos. It's about saying to people that women can compete at this level and really have all the skills. It's just about facilities, opportunities, great coaching, of course, comes into it as well. So I'm really excited to see what a World Cup, a Women's T20 World Cup in Bangladesh can do, not just for them, but for the region as a whole. And for girls who are watching them and looking at them, there's such a big Bangladeshi diaspora in all parts of the world, especially here in South Africa, of course, over in England as well. And for those girls to also look at the team and say, actually, maybe I can do this as well. Maybe I can be part of this too, which I think is a great message to be putting out for International Women's Day. It's something that we speak about often. Sport is changing so fast, but certainly when I started, and still, I suppose, I'm one of very few, if not the only female correspondent often around. But at the same time, you know, that allows us to bring a lot of unique perspectives and diversity into what we do. And I'm sure you feel the same.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny sort of talking about my experiences where I grew up and even, yeah, it extends to sort of being a correspondent. I remember quite early on in my career, I was covering Australian football in Sydney, which isn't essentially an Australian football state, but they have two teams in the national competition. And I was one of four women in the press box. We outnumbered the blokes. I'm talking probably, you know, further back than I really wish to mention, but that was quite some time ago. And we just sort of took it for granted that it hasn't always been that way. I mean, probably 20 years prior to that, we had some sort of trailblazing women that, you know, paved the way for us, but it was happening that long ago. So yeah, you're right. It's just, it's so fascinating to have these different sort of perspectives and just get a better understanding of what women in various countries around the world are going through and their lived experiences as well. I think it, you know, really opens our eyes to you know, what's going on.
Yeah, you mentioned the pioneering generation. That's certainly what Jyoti and her team are. So when girls in Bangladesh look back on the reason that they started playing, I think it's going to be them. It's going to be the 2024 T20 World Cup, and it's going to be a Bangladesh team that handed defeat to India, South Africa, Pakistan, and who knows, maybe in the next couple of weeks, even Australia. So we'll be keeping an eye on how Bangladesh perform, and we'd like to wish all of you, our listeners, a very happy International Women's Day.